And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. If there's anything true in the world, it's the Word of God. And one of the incredible things about the Word of God is that it foretells the future. And we know then that the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and all the other prophecies will come true. They talk, that is, the prophecies, tell us that there will be an incredible revolution in the last days. And there will come people in leadership positions in government that, according to the book of Daniel, will, quote, think to change times and laws. Change will be a great preoccupation of the dictators of the last days. And we certainly have that. We have one of the candidates for president today saying that he will incorporate change. All of the placards and signs being held up by those who support this man say, we are change. Change we can believe in. Of course, all the candidates say they will bring change. John McCain for the Republicans says he will bring change because he will bomb Iran. He will bring more war, and it might be that this war lasts for 100 years in Iraq, and certainly it will in other countries as well. But Obama, on the other hand, one of the Democratic candidates, says it may be necessary to bomb Pakistan because they have... They might be harboring Osama bin Laden, although there's no proof of that at all. But whatever the case, it seems like we only really have one major political party in the United States. It's the war party. And it's gigantic. And we've already seen that Mr. Ron Paul, Congressman Dr. Paul, being the peace candidate, became a fringe or a marginal candidate. He got very few votes. Now, you and I can complain and say that Dr. Paul didn't get a fair hand, didn't get a fair shake from the media, but let's just face it, friends. Most people go along with the media, and people that think like Dr. Ron Paul and who are folks who believe in peace and the Constitution are a small minority. I should know. I'm one of them. I admit it. I'm one of the minority. And you know, the people that are truth tellers always are in the minority. Have you ever thought of that? Jesus said there are, as far as the ultimate truth, he said there are few that will find the way. It's a narrow way. Few there are that find the gate and enter therein. So it doesn't surprise me. The majority are almost always wrong. And they lead a nation or a city or a church into devastation, to decay, to corruption. Now, the key, of course, is to finding which minority is telling the truth. And I believe you can find that in the Word of God. But today I want to talk to you about a subject that is so huge, I believe it's going to take at least two programs. And I also want to assure you that these will be, now listen to me very carefully, you're my friend, and I want to give you fair warning, these will be the most important two programs that you will listen to on the radio or television or anywhere this year. Now, I intend to have 52 radio programs this year. 52 weeks, we're on every week right here on Power of Prophecy. But these two programs, today and next, maybe not next week, I'm going to give you a week to rest up. But we're going to have part two of this program next month. The first of next month. So, this is part one. I want to talk to you today about psychopaths, crazy people, insane people versus normal men and women, normal thinking persons. I want to propose to you that just as an individual can be a psychopath, a collection of individuals who are psychopaths, if they go down the path of power and become dominant in a society or a culture, will eventually disease the whole system, and so perhaps an entire nation or a collection of nations will become psychopathic. In other words, will go insane. I want to talk to you today in part two of this series about how a nation can go insane, can become a pathocracy, become psychopathic. As we used to call it down in East Texas where I grew up, they can just become pure plum old nuts, crazies, deviants. That's what they really are. And once they're in leadership positions, they can do great damage because they are, in fact, insane, and they have no empathy, sympathy, compassion, although they pretend that they do. They're extremely good as actors. They masquerade their true feelings, but they actually enjoy human misery and pain, even as they're crying about it. They shed tears, and they will put their arms around you and say, "I feel your pain." If such a man is in a leadership position and he has sent your son or daughter off to a foreign country where their blood was shed, when their body comes back in a casket, and if a funeral service or memorial service is held, that leader will go to that service and he will cry so that the cameras can watch him, and he will get up and he will give a spellbinding oration and tell the crowd how much this dead young man or woman has sacrificed, and then he will cry crocodile tears and have the whole nation saying, "Doesn't he love our country so much? Doesn't he feel the pain of the loved ones who have lost this young soul lost in the conflict of battle?" But believe me, dear friends, listen to me. One of the rules of the Illuminati conspiracy is that they must experience and give, that is to deal out, to mete out extreme pain without flinching. Let me say that again. One of the rules of the pathocratic, the psychopath Illuminati leadership, and has always been the rule since the days of Julius Caesar and all the way back into the pharaohs of Egypt and into Nimrod and Semiramis in Babylon, one of the primary cardinal rules of the psychopathic leadership is that they must deal out pain, severe pain, bloody torture, squirming type pain, without flinching, while pretending that it has greatly affected their mental psyche. I want to talk about America as a psychopathic nation. A nation led by insane, brutal, monstrous people. And their disease, their psychopathy has spread into the masses, into all of our institutions of culture and society, including the so-called Christian church. I was reading a book recently. It's sort of an interesting book. It's called Political Ponerology. Well, I'd never heard of ponerology before. And in fact, my assistant, Michelle, looked it up in Webster's, and there is no such a word as ponerology. P-O-N-E-R-O-L-O-G-Y. But I read what the author says. He says this is a study of the science of evil. The word ponerology, he says, comes from the Greek word poneris, meaning to do evil or the study of evil. This book then claims to be a scientific study of evil. And more than that, it explains how evil can take place on a macro, that is a huge social-wide, maybe even global scale. Now, we've seen evil in the past 100 years on such a scale. We've saw Nazism. We saw communism. We're seeing Zionism today. But this author of the book Political Ponerology says, don't get caught up in the isms. See, you say, I can debate fascism or Nazism or communism. You get all, or Zionism, you get all caught up. But it doesn't matter what name the devil and his psychopathic individual humans give the system. Every system is the same. Nazism, communism, Zionism. We can go all the way back to Napoleon, the Illuminism, during the French Revolution. We go back to whether it's Attila the Hun or, you know, the Mongols. We can move back to the Babylonian conquering state or the Tutankhamun, the Pharaoh and Nefertiti. It doesn't matter what era of evil imperialistic regime we're studying or what system. Because the devil masks his system many different ways. You must understand there are principles in studying evil that are uniform and apply across the board. So you say, well, I'm left wing or right wing or Republican or Democrat. I'm pro-Zionist, anti-Zionist. Shut up. Forget about it. Forget about the categories. We're going to talk about a different kind of category today. We're going to look at the category of deviancy, how a nation is brought under the reign of psychopaths. Now, it's taken a long time for America to become a psychopathic nation. And by the way, I discussed this in my book, Codex Magica. If you have that book, you'll remember that I spent a lot of time before I talked about all the Illuminati hand signs, handshakes, secret symbols and so forth, of Freemasonry and the secret societies, how they communicate secret with hand signs and body signs and all of that. I spent a lot of time up front saying, but why would they do it? Because they're psychopaths. Because they're insane. But they don't appear to be insane. Many insane people appear to be perfectly normal. In fact, they actually appear to be charming, likable individuals. See, you think you're going, that we're talking about Charles Manson's or some type of cartoon character, an Adolf Hitler who wears a military uniform and gets up and says, "Hi, oh, hi," and has a funny little mustache. Or a bald-headed Mussolini up there on the balcony, you know, and giving his little fascist stand, with his hands stretched over his chest. You may think about a Stalin or a Lenin or a Ted Bundy, one of these serial killers. Sure, they're psychopaths. But in many cases, these people, because they're undisciplined, have been unable to masquerade. But on the other hand, you go to a John Wayne Gacy. He killed, 33 young men. But before they caught him, why, he was very treasured and valued in the Democratic Party up there in Chicago. In fact, there are pictures that I can show you of him standing with the First Lady, Rosalynn Carter, who recognized his contributions to society. Why, he visited the children's wards of hospitals dressed as a clown to bring joy into the life of young men and girls. But of course, he sexually mutilated, tortured, and killed 33 young boys. And John Wayne Gacy once laughed at the police who were investigating him, and he said, quote, "A clown can get away with murder." Well, the problem with John Wayne Gacy, if you want to look at it from Satan's standpoint, was he thought too small. He was a clown, but he only killed 33 people. That's peanuts. A real psychopath can kill millions of people. And he can stir the heartstrings of the population, and they will believe he's a saint. Saint George Bush, Saint Bill Clinton, Saint Barack Obama, Saint John McCain, Saint Adolf Hitler, Saint Joseph Stalin. People will literally, practically worship such men. Deviancy. They're deviants. Now, today I'm going to talk a little bit about the categories, how we can characterize society, the deviancy. You see, there are at least 10 things that must occur in a society that is far advanced in psychopathic deviancy. Now, I want you to judge these things and see how far they've come in America. Now, first of all, I want you to understand that the United States began pretty good way back in the late 1700s, 1776, we had our Declaration of Independence. Then, what was it, 1787, the Constitution. In 1791, I think George Washington was sworn. I'm probably wrong in some of my dates there, but you get the point. Now, right away, though, you see, things turned bad because there were certain very rich people, and their names are very famous. They're considered the founding fathers of our country, but right away, they weren't happy after they kicked out the British. They weren't happy because they didn't have power that they wanted to have. They were rich men, but they wanted even more power. And they said, we've got to have a central government with a powerful chief executive. And we've got to have a way for the elite to control these 13 states or colonies. How can we do it? And they came up with the idea of having a new constitution. It wasn't the first constitution of the United States. Now, I know I'm confusing you because you say, huh? But we had a constitution called the Articles of Confederation. Oh yes, the constitution we have right now in America is the second constitution. The first one was the Articles of Confederation. But the rich, the elite, the Illuminati were not pleased with it. They said we must have another one. And a small group of these Illuminati met together. Among them, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and so forth, James Madison. And they said, we've got to have a constitution, and they came up with one. And then they told all the people, because they control so much of the press, we have this wonderful new idea, a constitution for you. It'll be good for you. We need some medicine. You've got to take this dose of good medicine. Now, fortunately for you and me and for millions of people over the decades in the last 225 years, there was a group of people who said, not no, but you know what? No. We're not going to go along with your constitution. And the rich were astonished. Well, you peasants and peons, how dare you to deny us our new constitution? These people, And I'm not going to name them today, but history gives them no credit. You will not find their names in the history books. You will not study them in our colleges and universities and in studying about American government and American history. And I know. I taught at university level. I taught college courses in American government and American state and local government. And I couldn't find a textbook that told the story of these brave men who said no. But let me tell you what they did. They said, we will never approve a so-called constitution that doesn't have basic rights enumerated for the people. We demand, we will not approve these in our state legislatures. We demand that certain basic rights, freedom of speech, freedom to petition our leaders, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, to worship as one's conscience dictates, freedom, freedom, freedom. And that all the powers not specifically enumerated be given eternally to the people, not to the federal government. And even the right to keep and bear arms. We don't see this in this filthy, dirty Constitution. There's none of these rights in there. Get lost. Well, the big boys said, oh my goodness, we've been found out. The little people found out that we were going to have a dictatorship. And now they're demanding their rights, those filthy peasant peons, those little farmers, those little town guys, the poor. The middle class. They found us out. Now we'll have to give it to them. And they did. The Bill of Rights. The 10 amendments to the Constitution. You know, when I was a young person, I remember I was in the 7th grade. I went up and I asked my teacher. We were learning all about the Bill of Rights. Yeah, they spent a few days telling us all about it. Sounded wonderful. I said, I just don't understand something. Is this in the Constitution? Uh-huh, she said. And I was just a young little kid, 13 years old. I said, well, why is it amendments? She said, oh, well, the Constitution was changed. I said, why wasn't it in there in the first place? Well, they had to add on to it. I said, why? She said, because they forgot it. They forgot it. They forgot your rights, freedom of religion, freedom to keep and bear arms. To defend yourself, in other words, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, they forgot it, she said. They didn't forget anything. They weren't going to put it in there. They were forced to. And only then would the people say, we'll give you the Constitution and the other things it says, but we want to make sure we have these rights, these 10 basic rights. They were added after the fact only because the big boys couldn't deceive the people. But don't worry. That's because most of the people were normal then. Most of the people today, the major part of the people of the United States are psychopathic nuts. They wouldn't understand these issues. The people back then were smart. They were more intelligent than now. People have been dumbed down now. But back then, the common people, so-called, had the courage to say no to the super rich, to the elite, to the Illuminati. And if they had visited Washington, D.C. back then, right after that city was built and many millions of dollars were spent for all those pagan statues and Greek Roman goddess worship, and all the buildings of Washington, D.C. are nothing but a bunch of pagan worship monuments, including the Washington Monuments, which is nothing more than a 555-foot-tall male phallus in stone. They would have burned the city down. The people of the United States, if they had visited Washington, D.C. back then, would have said, what is the goddess doing on top of the dome of the U.S. Capitol? This is Diana, whom Paul in the book of Acts said, all the world worshipeth this devil goddess. They would have torn it down. Of course, it didn't go up till 1860. They waited till they had dumbed down the people of the United States. about 70 years or so before they had the gall to put up the goddess on top of the Capitol Dome. Then they waited some decades later till the people were dumbed down some more and they gave them the Washington Monument, which is nothing more than the Thales symbol, the you-know-what of Osiris, the Egyptian sun god. You don't think the people of America have gone insane over the decades? But today they take the cake. To use a cliche, I want to talk to you about these deviancy categories today. There are 10 of them. We're going to cover each one. I want you to understand why I say America is an insane society run by psychopathic leaders who have now swept all of the institutions together. And things have gotten crazier and crazier and crazier. I told you just a couple of weeks ago in a Secrets volume about a new movie called No Country for Old Men. Tommy Lee Jones plays a character. I haven't even seen the movie. I just read a review about it. Tommy Lee Jones plays a sheriff of a town or a county in Texas. And he's asked why things have gotten so bad. Crime's got out of hand. Things are horrible. What happened to us? He agreed with the people. The sheriff did. The old sheriff. He says, you know, it started with bad manners years ago. Bad manners. When young people quit saying sir and ma'am. That's when it started. And it's gotten so bad now that this America, this United States, this is no country for old men. I'm telling you, friends, America is no country for old men or women, but America is no country for sane, normal men and women. Deviancy categories. Number one, these are the things now the psychopaths promote. The psychopaths must push these areas in order to fully develop, to create a fully psychopathic, insane society that they can control. They cannot control normal people and normal ways and normal styles of living, normal beliefs. They cannot control people who believe in truth and honesty and integrity. They must debauch the society. And I'm going to tell you how they do it and how it not only begins, but it goes through the whole process. Now, first of all, I want you to understand that typically in any society, there are only about 5% of the people who are insane. Now, they're not locked up. You don't even know they're crazy, but you meet them on the sidewalk. Sometimes they end up being your pastor or a deacon at church or just some gossip monger at church. They might be some coworker who lies about you, or maybe it's the boss. Might be a subordinate that you cannot trust and you realize something's wrong with this person. It can become a U.S. senator or a congressperson or a professor. But for whatever reason, they are a psychopath and they have no real human feelings of compassion and love and caring and family. They are selfish, self-oriented, evil people, evil, evil, evil. But you don't know it. But we're going to tell you how to identify them. We're going to tell you the way they control society. Now I'm going to take a little break here. We're going to come back in just a moment. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're talking about America, a nation run that is led by psychopathic, insane leaders. This is Tex Mars, and you're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, my book, Codex Magica, was really a revelation to a lot of people. They had no idea that everywhere you turn in society today, in America and around the world, the elite are giving secret signs of communication. The Illuminati are showing through their body gestures, through their symbols, their logos, their seals, the way they even shake hands with each other. You will discover the secrets of the Illuminati, of the elite. And as I said, these men are psychopaths. The book, Codex Magica, is a huge book. It's over 600 pages, a large format. It's about the size, it seems like about 2 inches, 2 inches thick, about the size of a big city's telephone book, maybe even bigger than that. It's got over 1,000 photographs and illustrations. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, this has got 1,000 pictures. And it has shocked many people in seeing this book. And I'll tell you, just reading the captions underneath the pictures is a learning experience, a discovery, an adventure into psychopathic reality. You never knew this existed. They didn't want you to know, but now you can discover it for yourself. It's the Matrix revealed. It shows that we are a Terminator society, but there is an evil elite lurking out there. And they are the masters of society. In every field, athletics, entertainment, education, politics, medicine, they're there. And they've been doing a lot of secret things, and now the lid's blown off. The book Codex Magica, and we'll be glad to send you this book. Now, it's a big book. It costs us a lot to produce and send. We ask for $35 for the book. It's about the same size, probably weighs as much, too, as three regular books. So you're buying like three books in one here, $35. Please add $4 for shipping and handling, a total of $39 for Codex Magica. Now, to get this book, all you have to do is phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. If you're overseas, just call us on our regular line, area code 512-263-9780, or send a check or money order or cash, but make sure you conceal it in the envelope real well so it won't be stolen as it goes along the mail routes. And our address is Power of Prophecy, or you can just write to Tex Mars. Power of Prophecy, or Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. Our zip code is 78733 for the book Codex Magica. Now, you might, if you're computer literate, and most people are nowadays, you could just go to powerofprophecy.com and buy the book. And you'll see a lot more on there, too. We have a video about Codex Magica. And you can get our video in DVD or VHS about Codex Magica. 2 hours, I believe it is, of information on Codex Magica by video. Again, that's powerofprophecy.com. Simple as that. Now, we have we call it sort of a sister website, but, you know, if you don't like sister, we'll call it our brother website. Whatever you want, we'll please you. And that would be conspiracyworld.com. Conspiracyworld.com for Codex Magica. And, of course, everyone who orders the book will send you a free newsletter. Each month, our Power of Prophecy newsletter. Now let's return to our regular program. We're discussing a psychopathic nation. The United States, unfortunately, led by psychopaths, insane men, and a few women. Now, I promised you we'd get in these deviancy characteristics or categories. 10 things that you can look at and see that the psychopaths, that 4 or 5% of the population, must have in order to control the majority of people. Okay? Now, I mentioned to you that in any given society or culture, only 4 to 5% are real deviants, really psychopath, have no real feelings, although they disguise that. They appear to be normal, even charming, likable, but they're very dangerous. They don't care about you at all. They want to see you in pain. They want to see you hurt. They get their jollies, as they say. They enjoy pain and misery and suffering and blood. Even the Bible, the Old Testament, God said, all those who hate me love death. These people love death. It's hard to believe there are people like this, but, you know, the author, Andrew Lobachewski of Political Ponerology, and by the way, we're not offering this book. I'm sorry that we're not. It's a scientific book, and it's so complicated. It's very difficult. But for most people to understand, I just didn't think it did much of a market for it, although it's a very fascinating book. Lobachewski, that's Lobachewski. By the way, he's from Poland. And the man should know what he's talking about. He suffered under Nazism and then communism in the nation of Poland. He's a psychologist who was tormented, tortured. Most of his friends were taken away and killed in concentration camps. Most of them by the communists, by the way. So in Poland, first Poland was conquered by the Nazis and then by the communists. And only in recent times has there been any element of freedom at all in Poland. This man knows what he's talking about. He has suffered. Now, DVNC categories, the psychopaths, and I want to assure you again, they work their way, they worm their way to the top. And by the way, as they go up, as they ascend up the ladder in whatever field they're in, politics, medicine, education, entertainment, as they go up the ladder, and believe me, they are cunning, they are clever, they are sly, they are diabolical. They're not always so smart. Nobody has ever said that Hitler or Stalin were extremely intelligent. They were diabolically sly and cunning. But probably they were not as intelligent as the average man on the street, nor was Lenin or Marx or many of the others. They weren't so smart. But because they have no feelings and no conscience, almost no soul, they go further than others. See, they will do things to get ahead that you and I would never do, because you're not a psychopath. I'm not. They are. And they don't feel sorry for their victims. They will lie, cheat, steal, but they do it in a very calm, collective way. Ted Bundy was asked how he was able to get away, how he was able to lure so many women who thought he was good-looking, smart, charming. They would open their doors to him, and then he would torture and kill them. How did you get these women to believe in you? He smiled with a wicked, sly grin. He said, I'm a mean son of a bitch. I'm a mean SOB. But his victims didn't know that. They thought he was a wonderful man. And like some others, he began his career of crime in politics. Up in Seattle, Washington, he was so wonderful. Why, he assisted on various helplines, psychological helplines. He would help young people that were worried about committing suicide or whatever. He would get them on the phone and talk them out of it. Oh, he was a wonderful man. Ted Bundy, a serial killer. The psychopath works his way up the ladder, and as he does, he instinctively looks around and he sees others like himself. And he helps them get ahead too. He promotes them. And soon the psychopaths are helping each other. Now the interesting thing about a psychopath is they're great followers. And they're great leaders. You say, how can they be both? They instinctively know that when a person is superior to them on the pecking order, in the ladder, they know how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and follow orders. But once they get in charge, then they make sure that others follow. So you saw that in Nazi Germany, The Hitlers and the Himmlers made sure that everybody followed them, but everybody all the way down. So you must have a strict regime, a pecking order. They're followers and they're leaders, and they're all psychopathic. And they have a knack for picking disciples like themselves. They seem to know. It's like a satanic current that flows through all of them. They know who will be obedient and who won't. They know who is the free thinker, who is normal, and that person they hate and they despise. They hate everything normal. Everything godly and good they hate. But you'd never know that from their words. Deviancy categories. Number one, you will see in a society or in a church or even a family, because these characteristics sometimes can be seen in families. Families become dysfunctional because of psychopaths that are the leaders of the family. Churches can become dysfunctional because a psychopathic personality gains control, and it's not always the pastor. It might be some woman that everybody trusts or some man. And soon the whole church goes insane. And yet, people say, what a wonderful, loving church. Somebody once told me that the nicest, most loving people in the world were found at Church of Satan congregations. Somebody told me one time, I visited Anton LaVey's Church of Satan in San Francisco. I never met such nice people in all my life. Of course, when they began to talk about the necessity for killing and sacrificing human beings, that did turn me off, he said. They were such good people. So loving. And they love to hug your necks. Everybody went around hugging each other's necks. Of course, the man told me he had to worry that he might be the next sacrifice at the next ritual, but other than that, it's a good, nice, loving group. Number one, you will see in a society, in a culture, in an institution that is run, that is led by psychopaths, you will see immorality and tearing of the fabric of propriety. Immorality. In other words, the society, the culture, the nation will be characterized by immorality, the tearing down of traditional values, the ripping of the fabric of propriety. Nothing will be limited anymore. Nothing will be prohibited. Everything is permitted. And if you protest and say, I want some propriety here, I want some reasonableness here, they will attack you for being a prude and an old-fashioned fuddy-duddy, and somebody who is not in step with the modern ways. If they bring rock and roll into your church, you say, I don't like that. They say, oh, you are the problem. It doesn't matter what music we have in the church. God loves all music. See, you become the problem when you're against immorality. When you promote traditional values, you are the problem, not them. They're just trying to help build the church, trying to grow the numbers, trying to show their love for all. When they invite homosexuals into the church and you say no, they say, oh, you're so judgmental. You're so harsh. You're so mean. You're so cruel. We love everybody, including homosexuals. Immorality, tearing down of the fabric of propriety in a society, in a nation, in a church. When you say a marriage is between a man and a woman, they say, oh, how old-fashioned. You're not keeping up with the times. You see, these people are social deviants, and they will judge you. That is, they will put you in the category of being abnormal because you oppose them. So the first thing you will see in the society, and by the way, as the society becomes more and more psychopathic, you will see these character traits become more and more pronounced. The second is cruelty and brutality. A society, a culture, will become cruel and brutal. Why do you think America has to keep building more and more prisons? They're filling them up. And meanwhile, has it solved our crime problem? No. Crime goes up through the roof. And most people commit crimes and they're not punished for them because the psychopaths have made technicalities and rules to make sure that other psychopaths go unpunished. Judges become psychopaths and they let the crazies go that'll go out and murder and rape and torture and molest more people. And they do it on purpose because they're psychopaths. And they instinctively see in these people that have come before their courts other psychopaths. And they say, I will let this man go to do other crimes. And if you go and you simply demand what you want, what you think are your rights in such a society, you better be ready to say, don't tase me, bro. Because they will taser you. And if they treat you cruelly and vilely and with no dignity and decency at the airport by canceling your planes and losing your luggage, and if you cry about it, they will say, look, she's normal. Tase her. Put her in handcuffs. Take her down to the tank for a while. Something's wrong with her. She's crying. Cruelty, brutality becomes standard in such a society. Police are given more tools of torture. And they used to knock on the door and say, is Jack Spratt there? Now they knock it down with a big pole or with some battering ram, and they're dressed in black like some creatures out of a ghoulish movie. And they don't say, cops, you know, you're under arrest. They just go in and start shooting and killing. And if your pet gets in the way, they'll kill your pet. If your wife gets in the way, they'll batter her head. Cruelty, brutality, and it's necessary for security. Torture? Oh, yes. It's necessary to torture. We now have 6 men, these Arabs so-called, these terrorists so-called, kept at Guantanamo in these places, where they tortured them and have kept them there for 3 years. And now they say, now we're going to give them a trial. They were involved in the 9/11 plot, these 6 Arabs. 3, 4, 5 years they've kept them and tortured them. We don't even know the hell these men have gone through. And now with their confessions, their tortured confessions, we're going to convict them. Dear friends, let me tell you something. If I were a psychopath, give me 3, 4, 5 years with anybody in America and I'll make them confess to anything. I'll make them confess to raping 100 nuns and robbing 1,000 banks and molesting 1,000,000 children, even though they haven't done one crime. I'll make them confess. Let me waterboard. Let me deprive them of food and water. Let me put them in a stone cell where it's 20 degrees below zero or 120 Fahrenheit for a while. They'll talk. Why, they'll be babbling about crimes that they never even imagined, and they're fantasy crimes, and then I'll convict them of those crimes. You see, we haven't had a trial like this since the Spanish Inquisition of Christians. But of course, that's going to come back too. Cruelty, brutality, torture, full of prisons, crime everywhere, and it's necessary for security. To stop drugs, we've got to take away your rights. Number 3, lies and deceptions. Lies and deceptions everywhere. Propaganda, lies and deception. And they'll justify these lies and deceptions. It's for your own good. Boogeymen will be created, lies and deceptions, if you really think 19 towel heads, Arabs, did 9/11. Oh, yeah, you've fallen for it. If you really believe that David Koresh deserved all those poor innocent victims at Waco deserve what they got, yeah, you'll fall for anything. If you believe that Randy Weaver's wife, holding her baby in arms, deserved to get shot in the head at Ruby Ridge, you'll believe anything. Lies, deceptions. Fear-based. We had to do it. Randy Weaver was a domestic terrorist. We had to do it to save the children. We had to kill the children to save the children at Waco. We did it for the children. Of course, first we smashed their bicycles. We shot their pets outside, their dogs. We played tapes of rabbits being slaughtered and killed and the sound of them being slaughtered and sacrificed. And we turned off the utilities, even though it was winter, and froze the people inside the compound. And then we refused to let the kids, little babies, have milk and such to come in. Ha, ha, ha. And then we killed them all. And we did it for the kids. Lies, deceptions, propaganda organs established. America is paying out billions of dollars for propaganda now. Just this last week, did you hear the news? Why, they had two big bombings in downtown Baghdad. Combined, I think it killed 100 and something people, the bombings. Right away, I heard who did it. Yeah, the American government says who did it. They found out who did it. They said that the terrorist had recruited mongoloid, Down syndrome, women, and strapped suicide bombs onto their bodies and sent them into the crowds and blew up the crowd. Now, wouldn't that be cruel? Think about it. Those mean old Al-Qaeda terrorists, they got these poor Down syndrome women with mongoloid features and all, put bombs on their bodies and send them into the crowd to blow up. Mm-mm-mm. Think about it, friends. They're so bold and audacious, they lie and make up the silliest concoctions and people believe it. First of all, if they went into a marketplace and 160 people or whatever are slaughtered in the bombing and they had the bomb on them, how much of their body parts do you think will be left? How do you know they were Down syndrome? Said they made them to look like they were pregnant so nobody knew the bombs were there. Really? So people said, yeah, I remember who did it. It was a woman that looked like had Down syndrome and pregnant. Yeah, she must have done it. She's dead. She's been blown to smithereens if she had the body. How do they know it was somebody like that? It's all made up. Could be a little boy. Could be an old man. What? Come on. I mean, the Al-Qaeda, they have to go out and what do they have to do? Go out looking for people with Down syndrome so they can use them? How do they know that? Are there any witnesses? Is there anybody that said, yeah, I was an Al-Qaeda terrorist and I used women with Down syndrome, made them up like they were. Can you get it? The women supposed who had Down syndrome, they had the bomb strapped to their bodies, are dead. They've been blown to smithereens. How do they know anybody was there with Down syndrome? And if that was true, wouldn't the people have said, look, those women, they're pretending that they're coming here to shop, but they have, look, see those people with Down syndrome where they have bombs strapped to their body. How do they know that? The people that would have seen them would be dead. And if some guy said, yeah, I saw a Down's woman syndrome walking. She was pregnant. I bet that was a bomb. How does he know it was a bomb? Well, I saw her walking. She was pregnant. Maybe it was a baby in her stomach. How does he know? But of course, this makes the terrorists look so bad. They're so evil. They're using Down syndrome. Oh, yes. We must hate these people. Now, A fourth deviancy that is promoted by the psychopaths who run America or any institution or society or culture is that they must establish Big Brother intrusions. They must take away the privacy of individuals. They must establish a police state. Because they're paranoid and they want to know what's going on. What are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you buying? Everything about you they want to know because you might be somebody that objects to their psychic insanity. There's a lot of normal people that object to it and they got to find out who the ones are that object. A lot of people, they'll go along with it or swept into it become part of the psychopathic system. They themselves are infected by the disease, but the normal people say, wait just a minute. Something is wrong, they say. We're not going to go along with this insanity, and Big Brother's going to find out who the objectors are, who the resistors are. So a police state has to be developed. Now, a fifth deviancy that you will see develop in the society and intensify is that people must have their ability to defend themselves removed. There must be a removal of ability to defend oneself from official cruelty and oppression. In other words, if they're going to oppress the people, if they're going to use immorality, tear down traditions, use cruelty and brutality, use lies and deception, if they're going to set up a police state, you must not be able to defend yourself from it. And how can they do that? I'll tell you, they take away your right to keep and bear guns. If they're going to batter down your door, they don't want you to put a plug lead bullet through their head. They'd rather not meet resistance. When they come in and rape your wife and kill your pets and take you off and handcuff to the Gulag concentration camp, they don't want you to have a shotgun that's going to blow off their left leg or some other hinder parts they might lose. So the jackbooted thugs have got to take away your gun in advance. They've got to have gun control. They've got to remove your ability to defend yourself. Number six, they must remove your ability to correct lies. You see, normal people will say, wait just a minute, we're being lied to. This is exaggerated. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Wait, 9/11 was an inside job. That was an implosion. There were bombs planted in those buildings, the World Trade Center terrorists. Wait, there's not even a big enough hole at the Pentagon. There was no aircraft that hit the Pentagon. Come on, something's off here. Aha. You see, in a free country, freedom of speech, you have the ability to correct lies of the government or of all of these other so-called experts. They've got to remove that ability. Thus, they pass hate crime laws, thought crime laws. You know, right now they have the lie of global warming. And I understand that some legislators are actually going to be introducing legislation that will call it a hate crime if you deny global warming or climate change. It'll be a crime. What a terrible person. You deny that we have to do things about global warming? We have to control people's use of fuel and energy? Do you deny that there's global warming and we have to have a Big Brother system to make sure that people are controlled? You deny that? That's a hate crime. That's a thought crime. We'll pass laws. You deny that 6 million were killed in a Holocaust? Why, we'll have to pass laws that say you can't say such things. 9/11, an inside job? Oh, that's so offensive. We'll make laws that say you can't say that. Now, we've got to number six on our list of deviancies, and we've run out of time today. Yes, America is a psychopathic nation, but there are things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones. There are things you can do to make sure you're safe. And the next time we talk about this subject, that's exactly what we're going to discuss as we continue our series on America, a nation of psychopathic leaders. This is Tex Mars, and you've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.